From Charter Hall and Banish, this is Sustainability Further. I'm your host, Lottie DL. You're listening to Sustainability Further, a podcast by Charter Hall. One of Australia's leading property groups, Charter Hall is focused on creating innovative spaces and going further to build a better future for all. In this episode, we chat with Vanessa Vong-Suthi, head researcher at Samsara Eco. Vanessa and her team are using cutting-edge enzymatic technology to tackle plastic pollution. Discover how their innovative approach breaks down complex plastics into their original building blocks, paving the way for a more sustainable future. Thank you so much for joining me today, Vanessa. I wanted to first of all start with a question that I ask all of our guests, and that is, what does the word sustainability mean to you?
It's very loaded. I think I'd say sustainability to me is all about finding a way of doing life or business or conducting ourselves in a way that doesn't exploit the Earth's natural resources or cause harm to the planet and the people living in it.
I love that answer. I feel like this is one of my favorite questions to ask, even though it is very big and very difficult to answer. It means so much and we throw it around these days so often. So first of all, wanted to find out a little bit more about your journey. And for our listeners who haven't heard about you before, how did you get involved in working in enzymatic recycling?
Great question. So it all started when myself and one of my colleagues, Matthew Spence, became interested in plastic degrading enzymes at the very beginning of our PhDs in about 2018. We were working on other projects at the time in the field of protein engineering, which is where you really apply your understanding of how biological molecules work and function to then manipulate or engineer them to have properties for applications like therapeutics, industrial processes, or bioremediation. So we got really excited about applying our knowledge and the tools that we'd become familiar with in the field of protein engineering to actually working on plastic degrading enzymes. Specifically, we wanted to improve these enzymes in terms of their suitability for use in industry. So making them more active on different plastics or making them more stable. We were then approached by Samsara's CEO, Paul Riley, in about 2021, after he'd been on essentially a worldwide search for a technological solution to the plastic waste crisis. So it was then that Samsara was created out of a partnership between the Australian National University, where I'm doing my PhD, Woolworths and Main Sequence Ventures. And it's been an amazing roller coaster since. So my current role at Samsara is I'm the head of protein engineering. So I lead the development of our plastic degrading enzymes.
Amazing. And I absolutely love everything that you have been doing. I'm such an absolute fangirl. So for people who aren't really sure what enzymatic recycling is or this kind of like protein that you're talking about, I don't know, I'm going to mess it up. But I would love to hear in your words, if you can really literally, pun intended, break it down for us. What does this mean? What does this little enzyme doing? When you're talking about getting it more active, what are we doing here?
So I guess I like to think of enzymes as the blue collar workforce of nature. So they're the tiny molecular machines that are essential to all life because of their ability to catalyze or speed up different chemical reactions. And they're so catalytically powerful that we've been using enzymes industrially for over 100 years already in things like the production of food, in detergents, and in the textiles industry. And now we can actually harness them for the breakdown of plastic. So while plastic would ordinarily take hundreds of years to degrade in the natural environment, enzymes can actually catalyze this breakdown process so that it takes on the order of minutes. So what our engineered plastic degrading enzymes do is they can rapidly break down different plastics all the way to the basic chemical building blocks that they're made of, otherwise known as monomers. These monomers are no longer identifiable as plastic waste. They're simply a pure raw material identical to what we extract from fossil fuels today. And for this reason, these monomers can then be used to make virgin quality plastic again without losing any of the quality of the plastic over an infinite number of cycles. And using enzymes, we can even convert these monomers into other valuable chemicals that we would ordinarily get from fossil fuels. So yeah, that's how the enzymes work in our process.
Oh my gosh, that is so cool. So kind of in my head, how I'm picturing this, which you're probably just going to laugh at me about, is it's like a little Pac-Man that's going around and chomping all of the plastics and pretty much just pooping it out in its original form so then it can be made into new plastics. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty accurate analogy. We like to use the Pac-Man analogy for how enzymes work sometimes as well.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing because I don't think many people realize that when you recycle plastics, you're actually pretty much downcycling them because the average piece of plastic can only be recycled, is it 3 or 4 times before it hits the end of its lifespan?
Yeah, exactly. So we really think of traditional mechanical recycling as a way to prolong the life of plastic before it either ends up in landfill anyway, or then has to be mixed with virgin plastic to maintain the quality and structural integrity required to make new products from.
That's a really good way of putting it. That's really, really interesting. So plastics are absolutely everywhere. We're using them, we're relying on them more than ever before. So you're obviously breaking down plastics, and you spoke about kind of a few different types of plastics. What specific plastics is your little Pac-Man enzyme focusing on at the moment?
So we're working on a number of different plastics and expanding our enzyme library to target a wide range of waste products. But we're currently scaling our technology for the degradation of polyethylene terephthalate, which we more commonly refer to as PET or polyester, and also nylon. So you'll find PET, first of all, commonly used in packaging. And in Australia, it's labelled with the number 1. So PET is your strawberry punnets and single-use drink bottles. And polyester, of course, makes up a lot of our clothing waste. Nylon is used in carpet, fishing line, tires, and like polyester, it's also prevalent in a lot of clothing, such as activewear, stockings, and swimwear. So together, polyester and nylon make up about 60% of all clothing waste. And currently, there are no solutions for textile-to-textile recycling. So we're intentionally building our technology to target waste streams like this that largely go to landfill because they currently can't be recycled with current technology. So as I mentioned, our library of enzymes is now being expanded far beyond just polyester and nylon to target waste streams relevant across industries, including packaging, textiles, and automotive, just to name a few.
Wow, gosh, that is amazing. That's great. So how did you kind of think about this enzyme and this technology, and kind of how were you like, I think that we could make this little being chomp through plastic? How did this kind of idea come about?
Yeah, so it's actually not a completely new idea. Researchers had identified enzymes that had the ability to break down plastics already that naturally exist in the environment. Some of the limitations for using these enzymes in industry, however, is that they didn't quite have the properties required for an industrial recycling process. So a lot of naturally existing enzymes have interesting activities, but they can't withstand high temperatures sometimes, or maybe they're not as catalytically active as we need them to be to develop a process that's actually scalable and economical. And so this is where the enzyme engineering really comes into how we develop our technology.
No, I think that's really cool. It's one of these things as well. I think that when we think about recycling, we often think about big heavy machinery and rubbish trucks and everything like that. So I think looking at this side of technology is really interesting. And I think that scaling piece is something that's really important because there are so many different ways that we can process waste, but the scalability and the practical implication or applications are such an important part of it. So how do you see kind of what's happening with Samsara? Where do you see it going in the future?
Yeah, I guess in terms of where I see Samsara making the biggest impacts, as we've kind of referred to, current recycling technology does have its limitations, but what it is really good at is actually recycling clean, clear packaging, even though that's only for a limited number of cycles. So in terms of the impact we hope to make, we're not looking to compete with what is already an effective mechanical recycling process. I think the biggest impact we have the potential to make is by targeting all of the plastic that currently is just getting diverted to landfill because it's too degraded or it's colored or it's mixed with other plastics or it's too contaminated to even be recycled in the first place. So by solving for these more challenging waste streams using our enzymes, we create value for these end-of-life products and then hopefully drive consumer goods companies to take responsibility for the plastic that they produce and help them meet their sustainability goals as well.
No, I think it's really interesting. And we're starting to see so many big businesses and corporations start to really hold themselves, well, not hold themselves to account for the waste that they are producing and the extended, I don't know, product stewardship that they should be having on their products. And I think, as you've mentioned before, the textile industry is a big one at the moment that we're seeing a lot of pressure being put on. And the textile industry is really difficult because you've got, I don't know, t-shirts that are made from a combination of polyester and cotton, which is one of the most common combinations. But how do you extract just the polyester and then leave the cotton aside?
Yeah, exactly. So mixed materials has presented a huge challenge to current recycling technologies. And so our solution to mixed or even colored or contaminated waste is that our process is highly specific and it works on the molecular level. So rather than a mechanical recycling process where you can't really distinguish between the bottle cap or the label and the bottle itself, or perhaps the nylon component of a garment and the polyester component, our process can actually selectively depolymerize just the bottle or selectively depolymerize the polyester component of a shirt, allowing the other plastics present in a mixed material to then be isolated and recycled in a parallel process.
That is, yes, so cool. And something that I feel like I didn't realize could exist. I think I just traditionally thought of mechanical recycling as really the only way. Now, I know that collaboration is crucial in the field of sustainability. So how does Samsara work with other stakeholders, such as your recycling facilities or plastic manufacturers or other brands, to really help accelerate your work, but also to advance your mission?
Of course, we can't solve this problem alone. So we've formed very strong partnerships and are currently trialing our technology with some of the largest consumer goods companies in both the textiles and packaging industries, including Lululemon and Woolworths. So our intention is very much to leverage partnerships within the plastic economy with feedstock suppliers, customers, and plastic manufacturers, for instance, to help us get to scale quickly in a way that's economically viable. One advantage that we have is that we're not asking plastic manufacturers to change the type of plastic they produce or even the way that they do it to a large degree. The only difference is that we can provide them with monomers made from existing plastic waste instead of petrochemicals, allowing us to essentially plug into the supply chain where fossil fuel derived chemicals normally would.
Amazing. So if I'm going to break that down, pretty much what you're saying is rather than a fashion brand going, okay, we need to make this pair of gym tights, we need to get the fossil fuel derived polyester, and then we're going to make the pair of tights. You're saying, no, we'll take your old tights, we'll break them down into their original form so that you can then use that as your material. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. And if we think about a lot of the plastic products in our everyday lives, like for instance, gym tights, they're made of nylon, because nylon provides a really high quality and durability product that lasts us a long time. But the problem is that that nylon currently has to be sourced from fossil fuels. And so we're hoping to solve that by allowing consumer goods companies to source nylon instead from waste that already exists.
It's amazing. I really love it. So it's kind of playing into that circular economy and using what is already in use and keeping it in reuse for as long as possible.
Yeah, exactly.
So looking ahead, what are your hopes and aspirations for the future? Because I feel like when people don't work in the sustainability industry, they can find it really difficult because you're just reading the spark notes and the depressing news headlines. But what do you see for the future of sustainability?
Yeah, I think we definitely acknowledge, first of all, that recycling is really only one part of the solution to the plastic waste crisis. Other aspects of the solution will definitely lie in policy making, reducing our production and use of virgin plastic, redesigning the products that we consume wherever it makes sense to, and even eliminating plastic where possible. So my hope for the future of sustainability in the plastic economy in particular is to see a significant increase in regulation around virgin plastic production, not just for packaging, but for other industries that we've touched on, such as fashion. And I also hope that more consumer goods companies will begin to take extended responsibility for the plastic that they produce and lean into new technologies like ours that will enable us to truly close the loop on plastics.
I cannot wait for that future that you're describing. Sign me up. I will be there. That sounds absolutely amazing. I just wanted to ask one final question, because I think being a female in a very male-based industry, not male-dominated, I guess you could call it, not only within science, but also in technology and in the startup sphere, I wanted to know if you have any advice that you would give your younger self.
This is a tough one. If I think back to when I was 12 years old, I was probably spending a lot of energy trying to understand who I am and what my place is in the world. So I think I would tell my younger self to unapologetically follow what you're passionate about and to take up space in this world, even if you might feel like you're not capable, equipped, or deserving enough to be there. Just do it anyway and seek out the people who will support you in your most challenging endeavors.
Oh, amazing. Those are some lovely words. And I think that is such a valuable and important lesson. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today, Vanessa.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
This conversation is part of Charter Hall and Vanish's podcast series, Sustainability Further. This series has been designed to inspire Australians to be more environmentally responsible and to take climate action. Sustainability Further is produced by Vanish. Charter Hall's purpose is to create better futures by bringing aspirations to life.